Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
I love what God is doing right now in this season in prayer and fasting. So we've had a week, and if you aren't doing anything with the fast, I encourage you to engage yourself, get in, do something. So what it means is you're starving one thing in order to feed another thing. That's fasting as simple as it can be. Starving one thing to feed another thing. Because we feed things all the time. The problem is we feed the wrong things. You can, just by paying attention to something, you're feeding it. Paying attention to the wrong voices, paying attention to interactions on social media, paying attention to comments on Facebook, paying too much attention to something that's feeding you might not actually be feeding you life. Even just practically, like not eating certain foods or fasting entertainment or whatever, is you're just putting you're engaging a different mode inside who you are that says, I'm going to starve some of this stuff that I enjoy to remind myself that the most important place to be fed is God. The most important place to be fed is from the Word of God. Now, as you're doing this, come to prayer and everything in the morning, it's so fantastic. But as you're doing this, you are likely coming to God for something, like you're believing for something. You are a believer. You're meant to believe for things. And so you come to God, you're believing for breakthrough in an area. You're believing for direction. You just want to hear God's voice. How many people would love to just hear God's voice so much clearer? It would be so good if I had an immediate just tap into like God's voice. Well, the good news is we live in the New Testament, and you do. I believe you know God's voice more than you give yourself credit for. That God is real. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's in this room right now. And if you just pay attention to Him speaking. But I want to give you a practical tip as to how you can hear His voice better, more clearly and more often, is the Word of God. If you're in the Word of God, as you read these pages, this is like Jesus on paper. And as you read these, you see the characteristics of God. You see the character of God. And His Word will never contradict His character. And as you are navigating through this, you're discovering Jesus. You're practically devoting yourself to reading His character, to reading His personality, to reading Him, the Word, to getting in there. And the more that you get in here and meditate on verses and memorize verses and just really understand the character of God, you will know. Notice His character more in your life. You'll be like, right, that's so God. That's where people say that man, that's so God to do that. Like, that's so God to, you know, to whatever. And you can hear God's voice. I think it's like a bad attitude to like want to hear God's voice clearly for direction, because we get anxiety if we don't hear God's voice, but to not devote ourselves to the Bible. It's like, how entitled is that? I'm going to be lazy with my devotion to you, God, but I expect you not to be lazy with the way that you speak to me. It's like, don't be that guy. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't be that guy. Be devoted. Be devoted in the Bible. All right. Mark chapter 10. So we see a guy who's, you know, praying and fasting, might have been whatever. He runs up to Jesus looking for an answer. Jesus gives him an answer that he probably wasn't looking for, although it was the right answer. And unfortunately, the sad part of this story is he doesn't follow through with what Jesus says. So let's just make a vow right now, that's not going to be you. If Jesus speaks to you, you'll do what He says. Amen. So we're talking about, the title of the message today is being fully surrendered. So let's read it. Mark, did I tell you where to go? Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, turn in your Bibles to that. Amen. All right. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him, fell on his knees before Him. Good teacher. Somebody say good. Good teacher, he asked. What must I do to get the thing I'm looking for? And in this case, it was to inherit in her eternal life. What must I do to get the answer? Tell me, give me insight. I want to hear your voice. I want you to give me some guidance. I want you to tell me, what must I do to get what I'm looking for? And then Jesus responds, interestingly, says, why do you call me good? Somebody say good. Why do you call me good? And he doesn't give him time to answer that. And he answers and says, no one is good. Somebody say good. I'm pointing something out right now, all right? No one is good. I want to tell you here today, as you're walking in, believing for a hopeful, uplifting message, that you aren't good. Right here, right in the Bible, it reminds us, and Jesus is reminding him, don't you see yourself as good? And this is a problem for Western Christianity, is because we equal goodness with good. How good are you? Are you a good person? Do you have good plans to do good things? Are you good? But I want to suggest to you here today that good could potentially be the enemy to what God wants for your life. Good is not the goal. That's a great point. Good is not the goal. And so he says, why do you call me good? Because here's the thing. When we start seeing ourselves better, when we start seeing ourselves as quite good, then we get less dependent on God. That when we think we're doing a pretty good job, we get less dependent on him, so we don't turn to him. But when you're dependent on God, it's because you understand that the whole world has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that no one is good, and that you get this attitude that runs towards Jesus and says, speak to me, please. I don't know if I'm pleasing you. I don't know if I'm good enough. And that is not self-doubt and self-deprecation. That's dependence and devotion. That's what that is. And we need to be in this surrendered place before God that says, God, without you, I couldn't do what you want me to do. You created me for a purpose and I can't do it without your voice. I need you to be Lord of my life. I need to surrender everything to you, for I am not good. God's not looking for people to beat themselves up. He's looking for people to stay dependent on him. He says, why do you call me good? And then he starts using the Ten Commandments to illustrate something. He says, you know the commandments in verse 19. You shall not murder, shall not commit adultery. These things aren't good, right? You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud other people, exploit other people. And honor your father and mother. Don't dishonor your father and mother. And he says this. He says, come on, I'm a good Canadian. He says, teacher, he declared, all these things I've kept since I was a boy. I don't murder anyone. I do good things. So he pleads his case. All these things I've kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And then he tells him a hard word. I want to tell you that sometimes when you surrender to God and you listen to God's voice, if God tells you something that's difficult, doesn't mean he doesn't love you. And because God loves you, he will often tell you something that's difficult. Less amens. How many people are willing to hear something difficult because it's more God? Willing to obey, willing to lean in and hear God's voice. And I want to encourage you, as you're praying and fasting and laying things down, that you would go with God's idea, not your own. And so he says, I've kept all these things. I've been good. I'm a good person. And I hear everyone around him, all his buddies going, yeah, 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 he's legit. He's great. We don't know his name, so let's just call him Angus. All right, Angus is a legend. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lacked, he said. Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor. For what was in this guy's heart was he had great wealth. And you will have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. Just, you know, got depressed. Went away sad. Because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? So he's seeking an answer, and Jesus uses the last six of the Ten Commandments. He uses number 6 to number 10. murder, committing adultery, all this stuff. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to show the man something, and I believe that if we pay attention, he's trying to show us something. The final six of the Ten Commandments is all about how we treat one another. And the first four is all about how we are devoted to God. It's, you shall have no other God, no idols, do not use the Lord's name in vain, and keep the Sabbath holy. Like, make sure you set time aside, Sabbath time, to devote to God. So the first four commandments, and then in Matthew, he sums it up. Jesus sums it up. He's like, we can take the Ten Commandments, just make them two. All right? We can do the first four. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the last six, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so good, we get that. But here's the thing, is that Canada, culture, the Western world, America, Australia, whatever, Western world will celebrate, the world we live in, the culture we live in, will celebrate how good you are by how you treat other people. Like, we celebrate this, right? Murder's bad. This side of the room is not sure. All right. Murder's bad. All right, got you. All right. So, now, but we need to be careful that we don't take the opinion and the culture of our society and what it values as good and assume we're right by God. Just going to keep preaching over here. You guys got to work on your amen. All right. No, we need to be careful, because here's the thing, is that you can totally neglect your devotion to God and still treat people really well. And people in your workplace and your family will say, man, you're a good person, but you don't have to be devoted to God. If you have another God that's not God, Toronto will never tell you that they will say, if you say that Jesus is the only way, Toronto will say that's discrimination. So you can live in Toronto and be celebrated because you're treated by men well and you treat men well. You can be celebrated by the entire city and still neglect your obedience to God. But listen, you can't do the first four commandments while neglecting the other six. So you can't, it's impossible to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and neglect people. So you might as well just do the first one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Get that right. Fully surrender to Him, and all the other stuff will take care of itself. Am I preaching to somebody? Because there are some good people in this room under our standards. But I want to ask you, is there areas in your life that are not yet surrendered to God that are good but aren't godly? It may, for this man, it was wealth. It might not be that for you. We'll get there. So we put too much focus on what other people expect and living up to the standards of people, and we put too little focus on what God expects and His standards. We need to throw some weight on that. Somebody say surrendered. So you're going to go to the next level in your life through prayer and fasting, because you choose to surrender to God where He is Lord and Lord of everything, and you line up with His word, line up with His will, and get really obedient to Him. That is how you are going to get your answer. That is how you're going to go to the next level. That is how you're going to get your breakthrough. When you lay down everything and you get surrendered to Him. But I want to tell you there's some good news. Number one, surrendering to God is more about what we're gaining than what we're losing. What we gain in Jesus is so much better. The sad thing is when Jesus said to him, just give everything that you have to the poor, like sell everything, like whatever. But here's what you get, is you get your request. You get the kingdom of heaven. You get to follow me. He didn't hear it that way, because there was something high up on the inside of his life that wasn't godly, that was ruling his world. So when he heard it, he saw it as a negative thing instead of a positive thing. I want to tell you that God has so much for you that's way better. And the thing that you lay down has no comparison to what you gain in Jesus. Seriously, like, you know, sometimes when I want Kenzie to do something better than what she's currently doing, it's hard to get her away from what she's currently doing. Because she doesn't understand. She's a two-year-old. And so like, we're down in Florida and we're about to go to Disney World, and Kenzie's watching, you know, PJ Masks, you know, these demon-possessed kids on, I'm so over that show. That's all they watch in hell. It's PJ Masks on repeat, same episode. I know that because there's weeping and gnashing of teeth in my house. It's my teeth. All right, so I'm like, baby, like, turn the TV off. And she's like, TV, like, trying to pry the remote from her. And it's like, we're going to Disneyland. Like, what do I have to do? You know, and like, you know, like, trying to get her to eat, like, all her food. And, you know, when I grew up, it was like, Sam, eat your Brussels sprouts and your broccoli, then you can have dessert. I mean, we're trying to, like, I'm like, Kenzie, can you eat your McDonald's chicken nuggets? And then you can have dessert. And it's like, you know, this, I don't get it. Anyway, kids. All right. But like, you gain so much more in God if you can have the wisdom, like as Raul was saying. And so, man, you're a preacher, boy. Just, I, like, so good. Just trusting in God. Look into your future and trust God that He knows better, that His ways are higher than your ways. You can surrender. You can have the courage to do it and do it God's way because you can trust in Him. He's awesome. I remember when I was single and I went through a very clear moment of surrendering to God. And I've been married for 11 years now, but before that, I was like desperately single. Like I really, really, really wanted to get married. I wanted the companionship, I wanted everything and some other stuff. So I wanted to get married. If you're new to C3, welcome. So I'm praying and God's like, listen, you're doing all this in your own strength and the bride that you choose is not going to be as good as the bride that I choose. Surrender to me. So I did. So it was a hard process. You don't know if you surrendered at first. You're like, it's like a tire tube, you know, that gets a puncture in it. The only way to test whether the puncture is actually patched up is to put it back under pressure. So sometimes there are two tests that you go through with God. One is, you know, the first time, did you make the test? And the first time, can you keep it? First time is taking the ground. And the second time is, can you keep the ground that you've taken? And so you surrender and you think, oh man, like, have I done this? And so, you know, like, I'll see a girl or something and then I'll consider, like, man, maybe she's the one. But I was clearly, you know, not seeing clearly. Like, I don't know, she was standing in a dark corner, obviously not as pretty as Jess. And it wouldn't be right. And I keep it surrendered. And it was about 3.5 years. And then I met Jess. We're hanging out this ministry thing that we were helping on. And you know, kind of having a chat, little flirt. Seeing her, she's so pretty. And then the next day, I wake up and I'm like, God, this is different. I can't deny it. Like, there's, like, either you're going to say yes to this or I'm going to start sinning. Because, like, this is, like, like, you know, this sorceress, she's got me. And so I'm praying to God And he just said, he just puts this peace on my heart and he says, thank you, Sam. Well done. He says, because it's in my hands, I've given her to you. And it was like this green light. And so on the second day that I was with, I knew she was the one. I told her in the first month, I'm going to marry you. And if you want to do that, we're going to move to North America one day. You cool with that? You remember that conversation? She's like, okay. But I didn't know what I was walking into. When I walked down the aisle to Jess, like, she didn't know me. I didn't know her. Like, we had no idea who each other were. You can't work it all out without God. We make all the massive decisions when we're young and silly. And then before you know it, you'll be 80 years old still trying to find a wife. Because, like, you can't work it all out. You don't know all the ends. You don't know all the corners. You don't know the result the way God knows it. His thoughts are way higher. So surrender to Him. And year after year now, 11 years in, like, I've discovered over and over and over and over how much, like, I could have never have picked as well as I did without God. I can't take the credit. My bride is a testimony to God's faithfulness. I'm not saying this to give brownie points. It's a testimony. I trusted God. I finally gave up. Thank God I didn't marry some of those other girls. No, I'm joking. All right. So surrender to God. Listen, what you have in God, what you gain in God is more than what you're surrendering. Mark chapter 10, later on in this chapter, it says this. Peter spoke up in verse 28 and said, "We've left everything to follow you." And then Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, no one who has left home, brothers, sisters, mothers, father, children, or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions." Just he throws that in there. It's kind of like, I hope. Fathers, mothers, all this great stuff. Keeps going. "And the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last will be first." This is Jesus' way of saying what we celebrate in humanity is often not what the kingdom celebrates. And what the kingdom celebrates in eternity is often not what human beings celebrate. So the question is are you surrendered to the kingdom? Or are you trying to make the kingdom surrender to your humanity? We got to surrender to him. Number two, good isn't good enough. We must surrender to Jesus as Lord. As Lord. The Lordship of Jesus. If you know, every time I do an altar call prayer, every time I ask people to respond to Jesus, I always make sure I include the word Lord in that prayer. And we would need Jesus less as Savior if we committed to following him as Lord. Which area of your life doesn't have the Lordship of Jesus? See, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said something. He had a revelation of God that wasn't who God was. He said, "Good teacher." He should have ran up to Jesus, fell on his knees and said, "Lord, what must I do?" Because the attitude of how we approach Jesus matters. And if we approach Jesus like he's a good teacher, we'll see his advice as optional. Do you see the advice in the Bible, the advice in Jesus, what Jesus says? Do you see it as optional? Like a Brazilian steakhouse, take all the good stuff and leave what you think is bad? Because it's all a matter of opinion, but not when it comes to following the Lordship of Jesus. And so many things that are good can fuzz out the Lordship, can fuzz out the voice of God in our lives. You could have good friends around you, well-meaning people around you, well-meaning family around you. But popular opinion or just because your friends are saying this is good doesn't mean it's the way. Every master has a method. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 that we can't serve two masters, but we can only serve one. And you can't use the methods of this world to invoke the kingdom of heaven. And when you're trying to desire the kingdom of heaven while walking out the methods of this world, don't get frustrated at God. You will get frustrated. All right. Jesus says, "Don't call me good." Because you're missing it right there. Your thinking is wrong. If you just come to God like he's good, you come to so many other things like they're good. Is the voice of God at the same level as your good mentor? Is the voice of God kind of like, do you hear it just as much as or is that best friend who's really good? He's not good teacher. He's Lord. And good can be the enemy of God. I'm not talking to people who are bad here today. I'm talking to a whole room full with good people. You're all good. But good sometimes isn't good enough. Jesus was trying to follow God's voice in his life. He was trying to die on a cross. And Peter in Matthew 16 goes up to Jesus, well-meaning and good, because Peter's a good friend. He's a devoted follower. He's very passionate. He's the only guy that like walks on water to get to Jesus. Like this dude loves Jesus. And because he loves Jesus, Jesus is like, "Listen, you know, I'm going to die. People are going to deny me, you, and everything's going to go bad. According to your worldview, it's bad. But in the worldview of Jesus, it's perfect." So Peter says to him, "This is never going to happen. You won't die. That can't happen." He even strikes off a guy's ear. "Man, how valiant you are, Peter." But Jesus turns around to him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." What? How dare you, Jesus? Peter is just passionately worshiping you. How could you turn to Peter and say, get behind me, Satan? You use the word Satan like it's like a Satan? No, seriously, the devil will use your best friend to disobey God. It's crazy. The devil will use some strong voices around you to get you to date someone you're not meant to be dating. The devil will use something that you overlook that you think is good to get you from not obeying God. That's why Jesus says, listen, if I don't do this, I don't die for the world. If I don't die for the world, I don't do what my Father says. And if I don't do what my Father says, I'm disobedient and sinful just like anyone else. I do not want Satan to tempt me through anybody, not even Peter. That's what he's saying. Good can be the enemy of God. Matthew 16 says this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and it's amazing. But it means obeying him. It means taking up your cross of obedience. No matter how painful it gets sometimes, no matter what life throws at you sometimes, no matter how much people around your workplace say that you're a fool, it doesn't matter. You're going to obey God. Jerry is. Right? What else matters? What else matters? Number three, just do what God says. Just do what he says. Just do it. Like imagine the alternative if this rich young ruler just said, sure, according to following Jesus, this wealth doesn't matter. A whole bunch of poor people are going to benefit from this. And now I'm going to choose. Now he could have been written. He could have had his own book in the Bible. He could have been the 12th disciple. Later they had to cast lots to get number 12. He could have been it. Imagine the alternative. Like, I don't want to live a silver lining where I think, man, how could my life be if I was more obedient to God? I'm living for eternity. My life is laid down. I'm surrendered. I'm secure. I trust in him. I make sure over and over by fasting, by praying to just say, God, I can't live this life for myself. I would choose a lesser life than the one that I trust in you, than the one that I choose for you. I am abandoned before your name until I understand your will, until I understand your word. I'm not going to make another move until you say yes. But it can get confusing. Good can seem so godly. We can do many things in the name of God and actually be completely missing it. You could be serving God and actually be disobedient. In 1 Samuel 15, Saul is serving God, King Saul. So God chose King Saul. God's like, this guy's legit. He needs to be king. He becomes king. All right? Through Samuel the prophet. And then Saul is king, and then in 1 Samuel 15, God says, I regret the day I ever made King Saul. Now, when you look at this, you're like, wow, how? Like, how could Saul miss it? He was doing so good. Saul didn't even want to be king in the beginning. He obeyed God. He became king. Just because you obeyed God yesterday doesn't mean you've been obedient today. And the obedience of yesterday rehearsed and repeated is simply religion. God's got a new word for you, a fresh word for you. You've got to in-tune your ear this year. 2018's prayer and fasting isn't going to cut it. You've got to fill the bank account of your dependency today. And so Saul gets told by God, go wipe out the... You're doing great, man. Like God's talking to you, you're doing great. You're a good king. Go and wipe out the Amalekites and everything and then take care of that and bring nothing back. So Saul goes under the obedience of God, fights the Amalekites. He leaves the king alive and he brings back animal sacrifices to worship God. He brings back the best of the best of the cows, the best of the livestock. And in our church, like if we saw this unfolding in our church and we heard this testimony on screen, like Saul's testimony came up on screen, and it was like, you know, and then he wiped out the Amalekites, and then he brought back the best and offered it to God. We'd be like, yeah, like he's offering it to God, like it's so good. Man, he is so good. His worship is just so good. I mean, he brought the best. He didn't bring the worst. He brought his first fruits, holy Jesus. Like, you'd be applauding him, like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Look, like, he's bringing it back. Doesn't this impress God? No, you can add to the word of God. You can do more than God asked for and still displease him. And so Saul brings back the best, and then God speaks to Samuel again and says, man, I regret the day I ever made Saul king. And Samuel's like, huh? What? What do you mean? Because he disobeyed my voice. So Samuel goes to Saul and says, hey, buddy, like, God's not cool with you right now because you brought back Betsy. I know she's a good-looking cow, and I know that you intend to sacrifice her to God, and that's all well and good normally, but this time God didn't say to do that. And Saul responds and says, but I've done everything God asked for. I've done it all. I'm working harder for God than he's given me credit for. I'm doing all this stuff to God. You know, C3 Toronto was fasting 21 days and I fasted 21 and a half. Like, see, you know, they're encouraging me to run connect groups and I run two connect groups. And God's like, well, I never asked you to run two connect groups. And it's like, I don't know why I'm burning out. I'm serving on like six teams. Shouldn't I be impressed by God? Shouldn't God be impressed by me? And then God's like, I never asked you to serve on six. I wanted you to finish well, not just start well. I wanted you to be faithful. Just do what I ask you to do. And I always grace you for what I've asked you to do. His life, his fulfillment will always be there when we obey him. So Saul gets the flick. Are you kidding me? He's so good. Your goodness doesn't count. When we say, I'm doing good, I'm like, doesn't this impress God? No. He wants to know, is he Lord? Are you dependent on him? And have you done what he said? Tax collectors, extortionists, and people that murdered pleased God more than the Pharisees that look good. You got to read the New Testament with fresh eyes. Like, it disrupts our thinking to know that God values his word to the point where whether we do it or we don't, we're either sinning or not. What is God saying to you? I'm just going to get the band up. And Samuel replied this. He said in 1 Samuel 15, 22 over Saul's life, he says, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifice or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. Or another way to say that is your obedience to God is better than your worship before God. Well, worship's not bad. No, it's good. It's good. But when you try and do something that God hasn't asked you to do, it's vanity. Wow. God, so what happened with Saul is the army told him, we've done this before, it would be really great to bring back these best sacrifices. And sometimes even your friend's circle, like he listened to man's opinion more than he listened to God's opinion. He valued what people said. People tried to tell him, man, this is good. You know, the book of Job will confuse you because Job was good. People's opinions all through the book of Job, but he was following God's voice. I don't know what you need to surrender here today. But the last point, because I really wanted you to get this, I put a point four in. The Holy Spirit reveals to us what needs to be surrendered because you would have some good things in your life that God is pleased with, that he endorses. That's good. They're in his hands. And then you would also have some other good things in your life that he wants you to surrender. That's what we're looking for. And how do you know? Well, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says this. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, whenever anyone surrenders to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Holy Spirit is in this room right now. And if you turn to Him and say, God, what in me are you not pleased with? He'll show it to you. What in me is not in your hands? You might have been a Christian all your life. You might have been in church all your life, doing so good. Somebody say, so good. You're so good. But there's this area. You might have struggled with finances for a while, but then you worked hard and you made it. So your grip around money has just gotten so much tighter. And then God's like, release it. Trust me again. Like I know you feel a little bit more secure and safe now, but your security and safety in this is not where I want you. I want you dependent on me. He might not be talking to you about money, because as far as you're concerned, if God asked for any money from you, you're like, yeah, like it's surrendered. All good. Cheerfully too. Let's go. But then God speaks to you and is like, yeah, but that friend that you keep hanging out with, like I need you to distance yourself from them. But God, I've known them for 25 years. Yeah, but that friend like is drawing you away from me. And you know that voice. It's a good voice, that's a good person, but you've been too dependent on them and not dependent enough on God. And He's speaking to you, He's knocking. Hey, Holy Spirit's here, the veil. I want to lift this veil off your eyes. I want you to see that this is a good voice, but this voice is offended at the church. And now you're starting to take on secondhand offense. You're starting to listen to this voice a little bit. You're starting to be a little bit bothered by organized religion. It's getting kind of weird. Hey, surrender that. Let's deal with it the right way. Let's get it right. You know, God might be speaking to you about a relationship. You know, this isn't good for you. This person keeps you, there's some infatuation about this person that keeps you going back to them, but you know they're not good. They're calling you, they're not making you the godly person that you're called to be. This isn't the person I have for you for the rest of your life. And you're like, yeah, but if I break up with this person, like if I go through this stuff, it's going to be so painful. And God's like, it's all good. I'm with you. It's all good. I've got you. It's all good. You don't have to do this alone. Your time, your career, your dreams. What is it? Where is God knocking? Say, Jesus, I fully surrender. Just sing this quietly, Dallas. You might just, the Holy Spirit's moving right now. You're leaning in. God, which part of me don't you have? Take it all. You're praying, God.
Not to Him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust in His presence daily.
What are you trying to do in your own strength that God wants?
Not to Jesus.
Holy Spirit, move across this room. Lift the veil. Show us. Speak to us. Speak to us, Lord, where we're not depending on you. Thank you, Jesus. Every person praying, you don't know until you know. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Maybe the reason that you're struggling too much is because it's not in God's hands.
And I will love and trust Him.
gone around the same circle of frustrations. You're looking for answers in the same stuff. Or maybe God doesn't have it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God's real. He's got the best for you. Come on, a little bit more. We lay it down, God. We lay it down. Take it, Lord. Take our lives. Surrender my ideas. I surrender my opinion. I surrender my intelligence. I surrender my self-security. I surrender my friends. I surrender my acquaintances. I surrender my work. I surrender my career. Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit of God is here. Lift the veil, Holy Spirit. Yet in this moment,
in all to Jesus I surrender.
Just lean in, ask God.
In all to Him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust
Him. Thank you, God.
In His presence daily live. In all to Jesus.
Closed and every head bowed right now. We don't live for what is celebrated in our society. We live for what is celebrated in heaven. We surrender everything to God. We don't live because popular opinion says this is good. We live because one opinion, God, says this is good. We give it all to you, God. We want to learn your way. We want to learn your character. We want to live for you. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, there might be people in this room who have never fully invited Jesus into their life. In a moment, we're going to pray a prayer as a church that invites Jesus into your heart, starts a relationship with Him, and you might want to be included in that prayer. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand and in a way of saying, Sam, include me in that prayer. Nobody's going to be looking around, and I'm not going to be inviting you to the front. This is a prayer that's between you and God. Or maybe you once prayed this prayer, but you know that your life isn't where it needs to be with Jesus, and you want to recommit your life to Jesus. You want to be fully surrendered, all in with Him. And you too might want to lift up your hand and say, Sam, include me in that prayer. And then we'll pray together as a church, give you some final instructions, and then we'll be about our day. So if that's you here in this room, if you need to invite Jesus into your heart, or you want to recommit your life to Jesus with nobody looking around, leave your eyes closed, just raise your hand up nice and high so I can see it. Who is there?